in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, passage familiar to all of us, the Apostle Paul tells the brethren there, "Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things." In the notes in the middle of my Bible there, they've got a little note there. It says, literally, ponder these things. I want to talk this evening about pondering, because if I keep saying meditation, I'm going to say it wrong and somebody's going to get tickled because it's very close to another word. But I want to talk this evening about the fact that we need to meditate. Yeah, somebody just got it. We need to meditate on the Word of God. All of us need to spend some time in meditation so that we can better understand God's Word. God designed our body in such a way that it needs nourishment on a regular basis. And not only do we put that nourishment in, but we've got to process that nourishment. I suspect all of us at some time or another have either told or been told, chew your food before you swallow it. We've got to process that information. And when we talk about meditation, that's to some extent what we're talking about, is processing the information that we have from the Word of God. We can read it, we can memorize it, but if we don't spend some time thinking on it, dwelling on it, we're going to miss out on a lot of the benefits that are ours because of the Word of God. We need to feed our minds. God has designed the inner man to require regular nourishment. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says, "So we do not lose heart, though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." I guess maybe we should ask that in the form of a question for us. Is my inner self being renewed day by day? If I'm not meditating on the Word of God, I'm missing out on some of that renewal. Our mind is the place where the largest of our battles is fought. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 7. Verse 22 and 23, "I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members." If you remember the Apostle Paul when he writes to the Roman brethren, one of the things he talks about is what I want to do, I don't do, and what I don't want to do, I do, back and forth like that. And he's talking about this constant struggle that he has in his mind between good and evil. And that struggle is in each and every one of us. No matter how devoted we may be to God, there's constantly going to be that part of our inner man, that part of our humanity that wants to fight against doing the will of God, wants to satisfy the lust of the flesh, to do what it wants to do rather than what it ought to do. And since that battle is in our mind, we need to use our mind in fighting that battle. The Apostle Paul further, in a writing to the brethren in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 10 and verse 3 beginning, "Though we walk in the flesh, we're not waging war against the flesh. According to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive to obey Christ, being ready to punish every disobedience when your disobedience is complete. When he wrote to the Ephesian brethren in Ephesians chapter 6, he said, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Take note, when he says we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, and then he says, but the rulers over darkness, the authorities over darkness, the cosmic powers over this present darkness. It is a spiritual battle. In order to fight that spiritual battle, we have to have our minds prepared. It is something that involves our thought processes, our considerations, our learning, and how we turn that learning into wisdom. And we do that through pondering, through dwelling on these things. Since the battle is for the focus of our mind, we need to feed our mind. And we need to process that food in our mind. We need to give truth and righteousness into our hearts and into our mind, and then work on these things. Dwell on them and ponder them. There's great benefit to pondering the Word. David understood the value of meditation upon the Word of God. The first Psalm, David said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night." Not just that he loves the law, but that he spends time thinking about the law. You know, growing up, always heard lessons, you need to study the Bible. You need to study the Bible. I used to hear you need to study your math book, and you need to study your history book too. And one of the first things I always asked, and nobody could give me an answer, how do I study? And I've asked people since that time, how do I study? What is it that makes the distinction between just reading things and studying? And after much contemplation and meditation and pondering and dwelling on things, I finally came to understand that that's the difference. Allowing those things to go over and over in my mind, to think on them, to consider them. And the more time that I spent thinking about those things, the more I understood them. And the more I was blessed by them. We need to look at the Word of God in that manner. The mind allows us to ponder and think and to challenge. From the mind comes imagination and thought. And it is by running these things over and over through our mind and making the connections between the various parts of Scripture and drawing the conclusions that are necessary that we study. I'm convinced, maybe it's just me, but I'm convinced you can't study without some pondering. Now, I know when folks read that word meditation, the first thing that comes to mind to a lot of them is some dude sitting in a brown robe somewhere with his fingers on his knees, mumbling to himself. Or maybe the old guy sitting on top of the mountain that everybody goes to get all the answers, you know. He's sitting up there meditating on the mountain. That's an entirely different kind of meditation than what we're talking about here. You don't have to sit cross-legged with your fingers on your knees in order to meditate on the Word of God. To meditate is to give timely consideration to the design, the purpose, how it's useful in my life, how it can cause me to grow and help me, talking specifically about meditating upon the Word of God. It's taking the things that we read from Scripture and considering how they apply in my life, how they fit into the puzzle that is serving the Lord. for me. The psalmist in Psalm 143 and verse 5 says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your doings. I muse on the work of your hands. There's another one of those words that has a similar association to the idea of meditation, thinking about and considering. Meditating on something means to remove the distractions, to pull ourselves apart and get into the thoughts that we have in our head and quietly and at length consider things. In fact, one of the synonyms for meditate is ruminate. And in my understanding, it means to chew something over in our minds. And there we get that imagery of feeding our minds and processing that food that we give to our minds. We need to chew on the Word of God. But I think meditation is more than just sitting down in a focused sense and spending some definite quality time dwelling on particular thoughts or ideas that we may be worrying with in our mind, trying to understand and consider. I think meditation, well, maybe more the idea of pondering and dwelling on, is something that sometimes happens to us without us really thinking about it ahead of time. When you're doing busy work, those sort of things that keep your hands busy, but your mind doesn't have to concentrate on it too much. For some folks, that would be washing dishes. For others, it might be running, walking behind the tiller, riding the riding lawnmower, running the bush hog out in the field, where we don't have to put a lot of mental effort into the things that we're doing. So our mind is free and available. What do you think about in those times? Where does your mind wander to when you're doing busy work? I think that's one of the times when we meditate on things. Now, we're not going to get as much from that because unless our mind wanders to the Word of God while we're doing those things, we're going to be meditating and pondering on something else, aren't we? Like, how am I going to pay the bills this month? Or I hope the kids don't get sick when they go back to school, or those sort of things. And so what we need to do, and when I say this, you may say, I've heard that before somewhere. What we need to do is we need to have our minds so full of the Word of God and His words through the songs that we sing, the words that we read, the discussions that we have with our friends and our neighbors and with our brethren, our Bible classes, our minds need to be so filled up with that that when we get those times that our mind can just wander, there's nowhere else for it to go but the Word of God. Of course, that takes us back to a passage we looked at this morning in our Bible class that's specifically in regards to singing when we talked about this idea. Our heart needs to be so overflowing with the Word of God that that's all that's there for us to ponder about, to meditate on. And in doing that, we provide for ourselves more opportunities to dwell on the Word. When I was a young fella, I never thought that I would get to the point that while I was riding along on the riding lawnmower, the thoughts that would come into my mind would be Daniel's prophecies or the condition of the world in the days of Noah or some particular thought that Jesus expressed while he was ministering and teaching to the Jews. And while that's not always what comes to mind, that is one of the some of the things that come to my mind just when I'm sitting there engaged in busy work. Why? Because I have those things in my mind to start with. They're the things I'm thinking about. And while there are other concerns that I have that pop up there from time to time, these are at least some of the things that I meditate on in these moments of extra meditation, extemporaneous meditation. I don't know. These moments when my mind just needs something to think about, to consider. We regularly meditate on things. The question is not so much should I meditate, maybe not even so much how do I meditate, but is my meditation something that's helping me in my service to God? And what can I do to adjust that? Reading, dwelling on the Word. As the psalmist said in Psalm 77:12, I ponder all your work and meditate on your mighty deeds. It's in meditation that we begin to see the meaning and significance of the things that we have read. It's in meditation that we gather an understanding. Without such, without that dwelling and pondering on the Word, we may have a lot of knowledge in our heads, but we don't have much wisdom because we don't know how it applies. We need that time considering, oh, how love I your law. It is my meditation all the day. Later in verse 99 of that Psalm 119, I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditations. In fact, as I gather a few years, I'm beginning to understand why those older fellows I've known all my life have so many answers. Because they spent time meditating and dwelling and pondering on the Word of God. And we need to do the same. The more we ponder, the deeper it's embedded into our thoughts and our actions. And looking at some materials I have in regard to this, I read an illustration in regards to making bread, and it kind of hit home. I know a little bit about making, not that I've made bread, but I know a little bit about making bread, and I know you have to have yeast for bread to rise. But in order for that yeast to make the bread rise, you don't just sprinkle it on top of it and walk away and leave it there. You have to knead it in. You got to dig in there and put that yeast into the midst of and mix it throughout the loaf, so that it will do its work. And that's a similar analogy, or an analogy that is similar to what we're doing with the Word of God when we're meditating on the Word of God. We're getting it deep with inside our hearts and our minds so that it can do its work. It can cause us and help us to grow. Of course, as with anything, meditation requires us to set aside time. Now, it may be possible that we're able to do some meditation when we're just randomly doing things where we're doing busy work. But if we really want to get the benefit of it, we're going to have to set aside some time to do that, because when you're washing dishes, standing there at the window washing dishes, and your hands are doing fine, your mind's on something, and all of a sudden there's a pretty bird pops up in front of you and distracts you from what you're thinking. Or you reach to grab something and your finger gets stuck by a fork and you lose track of where you were at. Or you're out there riding on the riding lawnmower, mowing the yard, and all of a sudden you hear a noise. That distracts you. See, in those opportunities, we can take that opportunity to do some mulling over of the Word, but we're going to be more likely to be distracted. If we really want to get into meditating on the Word, dwelling and pondering on the things of the Scriptures, we need to set aside some time to do so. When we talk about reading the Word, reading on a daily, regular basis, one of the first things we say is, set aside a particular time. This is when I'm going to do my Bible reading. Maybe it's first thing when you get up in the morning. Maybe it's right before you go to bed at night. Maybe it's after you get the kids or grandkids off to school. you set aside a time for that. And we need to do the same thing for meditation. If we want to be successful in spending time pondering on the Word of God, we need to set aside some time for doing that. The psalmist in Psalm 63 and verse 6 said, "When I remember you on my bed and meditate on you in the watches of the night." Habits were adjusted such that he made time for meditating, for considering the world, getting rid of the distractions. Maybe the best time for you is at night, or first thing early in the morning. Maybe you're one of those folks that get up, I don't know, 5, 6 o'clock before the sun even comes up over the trees over there. And you can find you a quiet place and not only read from the Word, but meditate on it. It also takes a purpose, a desire to do so. And along with that, focus. So that we can let go of some of the activities that might distract us and find time to set aside and meditate. One of the instructions that was given to Joshua in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8, after he was given the responsibility of leading the Israelites into the land of Canaan and conquering that land, God said, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." It's interesting to me, when I started looking at this word meditate, the words that are translated meditate, I found that sometimes the word that is used for meditate in our English scriptures is mutter or say. Involved in this idea, and we see this in this passage that's given to Joshua here, is having the Word on our mouth. And I think that's where we can see the tie-in with Paul's instruction regarding being so filled up with the Word that it just comes boiling forth in song to teach and admonish ourselves, fill ourselves with Christ and with His Word, so that we can teach and admonish one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. It needs to be on our hearts and on our minds always. It makes it much more easier to set our focus on dwelling in the Word of God. And the more time we spend with that Word, the more blessed we're going to be by the instructions of that Word. The stronger we're going to be in our faith. Remember, Romans tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. If we're meditating on that Word, we're certainly going to be hearing it more and more, aren't we? And we're going to be making those connections between all of the different passages. We'll see how those prophecies in the Old Testament connect with the fulfillment in Christ. We'll see the teachings of the Apostle Paul and how they fit so perfectly with the message that Jesus spoke to the Jews while he was ministering here upon this earth. When we read from the book of Hebrews, we'll be able to make those connections about how the Hebrew writer shows us that Christ is the superior everything to what those Jews had been following in the past in the law of Moses. That's what God wanted Joshua to do. I want you to fill your mind so much with this Word so that you're never without it. Same instruction was given to the kings. They were given the instruction to sit down and write out a copy of the Word so that they would have their own personal copy. And it's my understanding that when we write something down, we retain it better. I hope the retaining is from the mind telling you to write it and not from reading what you wrote down, because some of us are in trouble if we've got to interpret what we wrote. But the more time we spend with the Word, the more of it we can use. I need meditation. My soul requires it. My ability to understand and apply the Word of God requires me to ponder on that Word. And Paul wrote to the preacher Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, he said, do your best, or the New American Standard renders that, give diligence to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. There is no way that we can rightly handle the word of truth if we're not spending time with the word, dwelling on its precepts and teachings. I'm convinced that much of what we're referencing when we talk about studying the word has a high percentage of pondering and dwelling so that we might be able to understand that word. Not just reading and going through, but using this method, this means of dwelling and chewing on the word to come to understand. It will develop a closer relationship between us and God. It will give us a stronger faith so that we're better able to overcome the temptations that come before us. Not just the love that we have for God and that we have for Christ for the sacrifice that He made on our behalf, but knowing, really knowing and understanding the instructions God has given us in His Word to help us to overcome those temptations. And in doing so, it will make us, as the psalmist says, like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. What these passages are telling us is that if we will feed our mind and we will process those thoughts diligently, our mind will be well prepared to see us through any struggle or difficulty that we may meet in this life. We'll be able to get to heaven much easier, because the instruction book, the pathway, the directions, commands, and precepts and teachings that we need to get there will be ingrained within us. I need to ponder. You need to ponder on the Word of God. I think it's something that we need to consider. Afraid some folks are like I have been through my life. I'm not into that weird stuff they do over there in the Far East. I'm not into that meditation stuff. But what we've missed, that's exactly what God expects us to do, is to meditate and dwell on His Word time and time. That's the instruction in Scripture. We need that if we're going to overcome and be with Him for eternity. Look into your heart this evening. Are you one who is serving God faithfully, doing all that He would have you to do? And we want to encourage you in that, and we hope that you will encourage us in our struggle and our journey through life, so we can all help one another to get into heaven. But if you find there's something in your life that's amiss that the congregation can assist you with, that we can go to God on your behalf. Pray to Him, seeking forgiveness for whatever it may be. If you will confess that to God and ask Him to forgive, He's promised that He will. And if your brethren here need to pray with you and for you, the opportunity is yours. Why don't you come? Always stand and sing.